Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The link will be posted in the chat. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome Rita R., a compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And Rita, you're muted currently. Are you able to unmute?
Yes, got it. Got it. Thank
Thank
you.
you.
I kept trying to mute it myself. So let me take just a moment just to ask God to get me out of the way. And so I'm just going to say a prayer. Dear God, please move me out of the way and speak through me, and may I say something that will help another compulsive overeater or any of one of your children who are here tonight say something that they might need to hear. Thank you always for just being with me. Amen. So, hi everybody. I'm a compulsive overeater and restrictor. I live in Massachusetts, and let's see, you know, what I was like. I didn't get to OA until I was 50, and I got to OA, you know, with my eating being more like binge eating. I'd always needed it. I think when I was in my teens, my dad, who was in Alcoholics Anonymous, he actually gave me the For Today book. So he saw something. I would say that, you know, some folks will say that they weren't born with the disease. And I was going to say that I wasn't, but if I look at my disease as being a spiritual disease, I was born with it. And you know, food is but a symptom. I hit my lowest bottom actually in my late teens. So I started comforting myself to deal with a kind of coming out of a household where I grew up with alcoholism, and there was abuse as well. There was a lot of love, but there was abuse too. And I was a nervous wreck. I was, you know, making beds at 5 years old. I was mama's helper, and just, you know, kind of that fixing and kind of controlling and trying to create safety in my life started very early for me. And, you know, and it served me in some ways, you know. I think in my teens, I was grappling with just all the holes that I felt in my growing selfhood. I just didn't know who I was. And now when I look back at like my teen years, I just see somebody who was so lost, you know, and looking for external sources to kind of fill that hole. And but food was a comfort. I was And my dad kind of went to the food too, but it wasn't his first thing. But I was in sports, and so I could always balance it off, and it's just something that I could sense that just like really soothed me. But I was always seeking, those external sources, and I kind of zoomed in on men, some guy or somebody who's gonna love me is really gonna fix me. And because I enjoyed food so much, I really and wanted to look good and that kind of thing. And I just got really caught up in the whole looking like a supermodel and that kind of thing, and started to restrict. I was good at it, until I couldn't take it anymore and started to binge. Then I couldn't stop binging. And then it was, I'll stop Monday. And then it was Tuesday all the way to Sunday. And I just could not stop. Started over exercising, purging. And I would say that whole cycle went on for a good 5 or 6 years. I did a lot of damage. I did a lot of damage to my knees. I did a lot of, like my mouth, my teeth. I think it messed with just a lot of like the natural growth that a woman is, I lost my period, I don't know, for a while. But I was still, and but I also, so like, so this was how I was, coming of age, just really, really obsessed with, if I wasn't kind of, if I wasn't eating, I was like, what am I going to eat next? When can I work it off? All of that jazz. I remember being in college, like taking 5 courses and nine and just kind of being aware, maybe a moment or two, that 99.9% of my thinking had everything to do with that and nothing to do with the 5 courses I was taking. I also got into kind of the party crew, and so did my share of drinking in my teen years, and that went on into my 20s. Like I said, I, thought that men were the answer. And I, it was no coincidence that I chose alcoholic men. I, was lost. I just was, I was promiscuous. I just had really poor self-esteem and depression. When I went away to college, I started having panic attacks, had to move back and come to a more a local school. I remember though being up in college, and it was like one weekend when everybody was going to be away and I was going to be alone, and there was no way I was going to survive that without eating. I just recall that very vividly. Let's see. So there was a lot of depression and anxiety, and I finally, my mom noticed something, so I got some professional help, and by the time I was, 23, I was put on, I hope this is okay, I was put on medication for the depression, and that really helped me dramatically. And I know that that isn't always the case. But what I think happened there is the obsession, because OA changed my life, but it wasn't my first program or the one I should have gone to first. You know what I mean? But it notched down the obsession, but then it just took a different route. It really did. And it led to like 25 years later coming in, or somewhat 25 years later getting to OA. And in my mind, I like didn't have a problem, but yet the eating it changed. It went to like binge eating, where, and I would still purge once in a while as well. But it would be like I had a little bit more, quote, control. And I believe that my disease was like, it was the biggest lie that the disease could tell me, is that, or is, it's coming from my head, that I don't have a problem, or I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. But then those 25 years, I lived in the bedevilments. I lived with depression. Every weekend, it was like almost like I could hold it together for that week. And then on the weekends, it was like, oh, okay, So it just, my disease just took a different route. And I had seriously all the bedevilments. Trouble with personal relationships. I was very dependent. I either chose alcoholic men or other men with a different addiction, but a lot of codependency in those relationships. I'm looking at page 52, all the bedevilments. We couldn't control our emotional natures. No. Anytime anything came up, it was always the food that I went to. Prey to misery and depression, absolutely. And I struggled making a living at, and I did end up kind of doing a little bit better in that way. But I saw people rise above me. Do you know, like people who didn't have, like people, like younger people in my profession who like did not have the amount of experience I had, and they just kept surpassing me. But it's not, it was just that I was too darn scared to kind of do anything more, because I had that, the spiritual disease, the I had the I can't. I swear, you know how when I was thinking about this share tonight, I was thinking about how people record like baby's first words or something. Maybe not that dramatic, but I was always the I can't girl, so and that followed me for a number of years. But the biggest one, I could say, the biggest bedevilment, and it still can get me, obviously, is being full of fear, So that's that. So what happened? In 2016, I had a breakup, and I was living with this person. He moved out. And I was really afraid that I was going to get really, really back into the food again. And started to go to OA, went to some local meetings, and got exposed to the program. But then it took a couple of years, but somebody introduced me to a phone meeting. And I started to listen to that phone meeting. And I was like, there is something so different. Another thing that happened when, how much time do I have? Where is the time?
16 minutes.
Oh, okay. Another thing that happened when that breakup, when he left, is, God's funny. I started a morning practice. Like I don't know how it happened, but I got this God's Calling book, and I started to read it every morning. And I started practice and mindfulness. It was a bad relationship, I should say. So it was kind of, I think there was a little bit of like whoosh, you know, and so I had that, and this OA phone meeting, I was hearing it. I was hearing it. And I finally asked somebody to sponsor me in this meeting, got my first big book. And that morning, when I asked her or asked the sponsor to sponsor me, I felt the presence in this room, this one, you know. And I just, I honestly believe that God used a way, you know, to help me with what was harming me the most. Because even though that low bottom, I felt like there was a lot of stuff that I was really harming myself and lost to myself. Every time I binged, I was getting palpitations, and I'm like, this can't be good. You know what I mean? So I think OA used, I think God used OA, and the big book to like really help me address what was most harmful. Within a couple of months of being in the big book with that sponsor, I had a 50-year habit disappear that I absolutely could not. This is goes to show, and I can always relate to the man on page XXXI in the doctor's opinion. From a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck emerged a man driven over with self-reliance and contentment. I'm not completely there yet, but I was that despairing kind of nervous wreck. And within a couple of months, I had a really bad habit of chewing and the skin around my fingers till they bled. They hurt all the time. I could not stop it. It was just, you know, I hid my hands. It was gone in 2 months, and I haven't done it since, you know? So I think that speaks a lot to like the spiritual kind of, and the, you know, just mental, physical kind of just whole being kind of not, you know, the wellness that the big book can bring to folks, you know. By the way, those whole years that I didn't get to OA, I was getting therapy. And therapy, I love it. I love therapy, and it's helped me a lot, a lot. But it didn't give me what the big book gave me. Therapy for me can be really passive. It was passive for me. And the big book is all about action. And that's how I changed. That was the biggest gift. Those are the gifts of my OA program is, you know, is taking the action. Okay, so where was I? Yeah. So I did, you know, I struggled. I relapsed. I fought things, you know, I fought things like the weighing and measuring. I was like, no, that's too much like counting calories. I don't want it, you know, and but it is absolute freedom. Now, you know, I fought the whole food prep, even though, you know, Rita, who's gonna do it for you? You know what I mean? But that was me and my dependency and always looking for others to do things for me. I hate to admit that. Like, I thought I was really self-reliant, but or self-sufficient, you know, but not so much. I have a lot of codependency. So yeah, so I just stayed in the program, and I just look back at it and like I fought things until I didn't fight them, and then I accepted them, And they have become, you know, and I love that, like, we are undisciplined people. And we let God discipline us. I don't know where that is in the big book, but I know it's there. Maybe it's step three or something. Let's see. This program has really helped me grow up. So all right, so where are we again? Where's that timer? I know it's there. There it is. Okay, I see it.
10 minutes.
Okay, so it now it's been a couple of years. And to be honest, because this is an honest program, that was another thing that this last go around with the steps. Honesty and making my phone calls non-negotiable were really important. But the honesty around the food, even, you know, I had to do that. And that really, along with like a really warm and kind sponsor, you know, I got through the steps and have been able to maintain. There have been times when I've had like little slips, and I was really you know, not like full binges or, you know, but I was honest about them, looked at them. I love the slip inventory, that I think is, well, I thought it was on the OA website. I think it is a tool, but it just kind of asks you to kind of look at it. But I just, you know, learned from it, you know, because one of the biggest things that I learned in my six and like what I learned in this program really was that Jesus is one of my friends, you know, is. It was just like, get up off your knees. You can't stay there. You cannot stay there. 'Cause I had just a tremendous amount of like, you know, shame and guilt and just like remorse. I didn't know that, you know, it's another name for self-pity. You know, I always struggled with that word. And I still have struggled with that word sometimes because I think a lot of us, and I'll just speak for myself, I'm not just this in this program, but I am in two, you know, I could be in potentially three others, but I'm, you know, just doing one and two right now. Okay, so how did I take step one? I struggled with that, you know, like, but I couldn't say that like something wasn't happening when I had those two miracles, you know, and then also the neutrality and the extended neutrality. And so, but I did, you know, because I went through the steps a few times before I finally got like 2 years. And so I think that the step one in the 12 and 12, it talks about like raising the bottom, you know, and I don't know. I don't know how God works, you know. I heard somebody once say that maybe it's just one program. Do you know what I mean? It's just like one program for the whole kit and caboodle that is like, you know, for my food, for, you know, for my Al-Anonic stuff, for, you know, my ACA stuff. But it was the top of page 35, and the bedevilments, the top of page 35 is, it's in more about alcoholism. So it says, so we shall describe some of the mental states that precede a relapse into drinking or eating. For obviously, this is the crux of the problem. And that just, you know, I mean, Because, you know, I could stop. Okay, this is classic. I could stop, but I could not stay stopped. And so it was always the mental obsession beforehand. And I really, really feel like I have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. So that's how I took step one. Step two and step three, I practice on a regular daily basis. It's been just growing through that. I still have so much self-reliance. I believe in God, but what I struggled with was trust, and so I love, maybe you've heard it and I can't say it because I've tried to tell the story and I mess it up, but the three frogs on the log and which one takes a step three, or it's the one that, or I don't know how many are left on there, but I look at step three as trust. Trust is try really using step three. So a lot of times what I am doing these days is just, I can't, God, you can. Here it is, take it, and I'm gonna jump. And I've heard in the
5 minutes.
thank you. I've heard in the program that it's I can't be in the results business. I just have to show up and do the work and take the action. I still have a lot of fear. What I do with that is I bring it to God. And all right, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. Okay, so I got 5 minutes. Okay. All right. So I would just say that, just this program has helped me learn the value of honesty. It's helped me have a more personal and more active relationship with God, with the two-way prayer and in the morning when I wake up. And if I am disturbed and just really need my therapist, I will just, dear God, this is happening. What's going on? And I just sit there with God and talk. And oftentimes, if it's too much, I'll do writing, and then I will end it with a two-way prayer, what should I do, or that kind of thing. And there are times when I just feel, like we all do, and there are a lot of times I don't feel. But I don't feel that, that God's presence, or, but another thing I have learned in this program is that I can't trust my thinking, and I can't trust how I feel. I really, really have to do, and that has definitely been, a work in progress. And like I said, I feel like God used OA, to take care of what was most harmful to me. But now, God was, when I was abstinent, and just that He wants more and more of me. I've given up Netflix. I don't do the binge watching anymore. I do what, but I can slip and slide about that. But very quickly, the pain brings me back. And it's like, God's good like that. And the nightly reviews too. And you all, of course, as well. So let me see. So it's a long road of construction ahead. Like I said, this program has given me the gifts of action. Action finally gave me the changes that I needed to make, move a muscle, And then you can change, you know, because I cannot change my thinking. And but I'm learning to be more responsible for it because I still do have a lot of fear. And my thinking is often dishonest. I wouldn't name it that initially, but it's the lies. I lie to myself a lot. And I don't like lie to myself to the point where I keep myself down. You know, I avoid. And I've got to be like, that's that I've it behooves me to be more honest with myself about that's not true. I might believe it. So it's something like, okay, I'm powerless. I can't God, but I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to do it anyways, you know? But my, it's dishonesty that, well, I don't know, fear that drives dishonesty. I don't, but I would say that when I have fear, there's the best chance that I am lying to myself, and I'm looking at, okay, not God's great reality. So I'm just thank you so much for allowing me to share. I hope I gave somebody something that they needed to hear. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Rita. That was great. Thank you for sharing with us.